Muli bonje, muli bonje.
Lord of House.
Ninaendo kula miji. Okay.
Vaonete comeno, vaonete comeno. Smile and wave. It's lights, camera, action. Mwine fili mundine, I'm the icon. Nibazira kuhone kafuleshi. Allergic to messy. Motoka nimbama, nobody touch me. But even in his illegal, had a conviction planted by the maker, saying you faker. There's only one truth you can use to navigate your way and produce fruit. Content with access to rising and pleasing these human eyes when their hearts are so full of lies and don't value what is inside. Delunimu pakiti. Upakanzelu mupakeji. But show me what's in your heart. Show me what's in your soul. Show me.
Good morning. It's July 28th, 2018. We want to say good afternoon to Africa and Europe, good evening Western Australia and the Asia Pacific area, and like we say in these parts of the world, good morning America, and welcome to Zambia Block Talk Radio. I am your host Nathan Nkama from the great state of Texas in Dallas, where it has been burning. I've been saying we are on fire for Jesus here. We do thank you for joining us. A lot of things to talk about this morning. I was, Roger, good morning. I found a gentleman I've known for years who served as a counselor, in Lusaka City Council. And I wanted him to come and share with us and discuss with us what really is the role of a counselor in the Zambian context? What influence does the mayor have on policy issues? Do they really have any influence or can make change? Like somebody who has won the mayor Lusaka election said he's going to offer free Wi-Fi. That's the title of my show today. ZBTR Roundtable, does the mayor of Lusaka have influence on policy of any sort? But he's not able to come. It was a short notice, conflict of interest, but he's still interested in coming to the show. So that's what we are going to look at, my friend, today. How is Okotox?
Okotox is a cloud giving us some signs of bad things to come very, very soon. So we are used to that. Yeah.
I think they said that's the code, in quotes and quotes, the code front that will come down here and bring rain. We need it so badly here. But I don't know, Priscilla, whether that's a good thing. It's just going to make things humid for us. And because we've been dealing with 102, 105 and that kind of thing. But that's okay. Hi, Dr. Pat.
Good day, my brother. How are you? I hope you're doing well.
Doing well, doing very, very well. Please note, we got your message and all is well. There's no conflict of the debt. Everything is good.
Outstanding. Thank you so much.
Excellent, excellent. Great discussion today. We shall do some parallel. I know Roger dealt with this subject last week, but I still want us to dwell on it and just put some things straight. Good morning, Dr. Musanje.
Good morning, Nathan. I missed the sun, what is it? Eclipse yesterday.
I don't know, those who are paying attention to those things. I didn't. Man, Roger, Priscilla,
was it,
I don't know.
It was just in Africa, in Zambia, somewhere there. I don't think it was over here, Dr. Musanje.
Oh, okay.
They say here it will be in January 2019, right?
What I was reading, it only appears once, I think, in 15 years. And so I'm not sure if people, we are cashing into that or we are so much glued to politics. I don't know. You know,
those are supposed
to be money makers. You know, people are supposed come camping. You know, telescopes in town, people, watch parties, stuff like that. Make money.
I don't know. We are all engrossed with Putin and Russia. Oh, by the way, I don't know how many of you have seen this on Lusaka Times. I like that picture of President Lungu with Putin shaking hands and standing together. And they are saying they are stepping up diplomatic ties, whatever that means. I didn't read the article. I just looked and I moved on. So, something like that. Hi, Priscilla.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good morning.
How are you doing? Doing good? You are surviving this heat we are having here?
I am. Yes, I am doing well. And it's beginning to cool down. You asked about the rain. I think we need it just to cool down, to cool things down, because the triple digits are just phenomenal.
I think it will make things worse. When it rains and then that sun comes out and goes back to 100 and something, it's going to create a, what do they call those places where you go
humidity.
In and steam yourself? It's going to come
a sauna.
Yeah, it's going to become a huge sauna. That's the way I'm looking at it, Dr. Patrick. Anyway, two quick announcements before we continue here. Roger, thank you for posting those Lusaka voter statistics and records. We shall dive into that immediately. For those of you who live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you know that I am hosting a leadership seminar today at 4 p.m. You can join us if you have time. We're going to be looking at how Jesus did business, how we conducted. We shall take principles from the life of Christ to try and see how we can realign ourselves in the manner we are doing things in our lives, ministry, business, whatever you do. The principles are there. We can learn from Christ's life. Okay, Uncle Daniel, good morning.
Good morning, Uncle Cam. How are you this morning?
There's only one uncle here. It's you. Me, I'm Nathan. Yeah.
Alcohol in Kaonde culture is the basis for friendship, for respect. Everyone is Mwisho in Kaonde. Everyone is Mwisho.
Yes, me.
Everyone.
Yes,
me. Yeah.
Mwabu kapi eti
Mwisho. Mwongo Mwisho.
Arena lo apula da boca. Okay. Those of you on Facebook, and this is what I like about our friend here. We call him the ZBTR Bulldog. Roger, thank you for this figure. So it's basically showing, if you are able to go there, Priscilla, go to Roger's Facebook page and look at this chart that he has posted. Only 15% voted in Lusaka mayoral election. 15%. Not even 20, 30, or 40. 15%. I'll start here. They say, ladies, I'll start with you, Priscilla. 15%. Let's look at, what is this? Munari with, excuse me. Okay, Mandevu with the highest number of registered voters, 144,000. Okay, only 20,000 voted. 20,000. I'm just trying to throw things out there as we talk about this.
Before she even answers, there is an article in Lusaka Times. I don't know if it's Lusaka Times, but it's saying President Lungu consented after a less than 20% voter turnout in Lusaka mayoral election. So even the president is concerned about that.
Do you believe that? I don't think so. You should just celebrate the win and stop, acting. Let's just enjoy his picture with Putin, that's all. That's all we're going to say about President Lungu. Nice picture, Mr. President, with Putin, President of Russia, or is it Prime Minister, whichever is applicable. So the issue of you being concerned is, please, stop that. Just enjoy the win of your candidate, and we are going to find him and ask him how he's going to deliver free Wi-Fi, okay? That wasn't a misguided statement like the PF media team tried to correct it and tried to get around. He said it, that he will work on providing free Wi-Fi, which even in the great United States, there is no free Wi-Fi. So we shall find out from Mr. Sampa how he plans to do that. Priscilla, 148,000 in Mandevu, only 20,000 voted, which is 13% of the actual registered voters. What's up with that?
Okay. What I do whenever I read reports like that, I like calling people that are on the ground. And yesterday what I did was I called Laura Mitty, because she's very active in the civic activities in our country. And of course I called Mrs. Mumba, Dr. Nevis Mumba's wife, to find out exactly what was obtaining on the ground, to find out exactly why there was so much voter apathy. Number one, they said the reason why people did not engage in the mayoral election, one of the reasons was because it was a given that Mao Sampa was going to win, whichever way they were going to look at it, even if they tried. So people just decided to go about their business because of the way, first of all, because of voter rigging. And then second of all, the PF had pumped in so much money in this mayoral election. It was almost like the way they used to do it during the by-elections. They took it very, very personal. Number two, there was also intimidation. For instance, the candidate for UPND, Kangwachileshe, his house was actually raided. This is something that we haven't even read online. But
I'm hearing it for the first time.
Yes, his house was ransacked. Yeah, his house was ransacked. He was attacked. He had to flee his own home. Then also, I think they went to their consulate or something like that. It was surrounded by the police as well. So there was that intimidation as well. Now, with the statement that the president made to say that he had pumped in so much money during the campaign rally that he had alongside his candidate, Mao Sampa, he told them, you have no choice, because at the rally than they did at the voting polls. So, I mean, people showed up at the rally. Of course, you know, people didn't have anything to do. They were given free T-shirts, free chitenges, free beers, and, you know, so on and so forth. I mean, they were given frisbees. So, of course, they showed up at the rally. And so when he looked at that, you know, he was encouraged to think that maybe come, you know, voting day, you know, people would show up. And that's why he even declared it a holiday. Everything was shut. Even pick and pay was shut down. You know, there was no business. People lost money because of that holiday. So instead of utilizing that time to go and vote, they just decided to stay out, you know, to stay home and just do other things. So it was given. It was very apparent that Mao's was going to win because of the state machinery and just because they had pumped in so much money. So all that money was just a waste of time, really, you know. But anyway, at the end of the day, he won.
But I'm coming to you, Roger. Wait. I want to throw this at you. I'm coming to you. Priscilla has mentioned three things. One of them is voter rigging. Then my concern is, and then you can respond whichever way you want, Roger, isn't that being defeated before you even cast a vote, isn't that issue of seeing PF pumping so much money, so much material and whatever else they did, shouldn't that have steered up people to say, guys, let's go out in numbers and vote? I would have thought so.
No, not necessarily, Nathan. Not necessarily. If people, like I've given an example in my write-up over there, back in the day when KK was the president of Zambia, we were told if you go and vote no, you are saying no change. If you're saying yes, you are saying yes, KK, Wamuyaya. Either way, this man is going to win. And therefore, the voter begins to think, we can go in millions. If this thing is rigged, it's a waste of time. You know, I'm wasting my time. And those are the arguments. I think Ms. P has put a lot of good points here. Those are the arguments which we are putting across and saying, government should be very worried. People walking away, if you say, for instance, there is 50% participation, it may be 30%, 40%, and then you still win, then you know, okay, we have, among the electorate, we still have a number of people who care for what we say. But if 80%, including your own people, stay away, either they know this thing is given, they've won, or
it doesn't matter what happens.
Yes, no matter what happens, or they are saying we are wasting our time. But they will start looking for alternatives. What is the other alternative? We are going to defeat these people. How are we going to move them out of power? Those are just the, you know, things you can... She has talked about the money which was put in there. They've even declared the holiday, shut down the whole country, no business. It didn't work. It didn't work, nothing. So what are the voters, the 80% in the town, what are they thinking? Don't you, if you are a ruling party or if you are a government who won, wouldn't you want to know what these people are thinking? Why are they staying away? They would want to know. All of us, we can just do guesswork. Oh, it is given, or it is this, it is this. But we don't know. We don't really know. Wouldn't want you to know?
Yeah. That's a very, very, that's the media.
It
what
is,
do they
say? Very, lastly, it is, I don't know, you know, when we were young, we would play games with your girlfriend, eh? If you are mad, you don't say anything. She comes, you don't say anything. She's just guesswalking. What is wrong with you? That is more torture to the lady than if you said what you are thinking about. Anyway, I give up.
Before I go to Dr. Patrick here, so how do we deal with this? I don't even know. How do we deal with this? Like Roger said, we need to look at how to vote these people out of. Okay, how do we deal with this? Whatever you want, whichever angle you want to come from, how do we deal with this?
How we deal with this thing is stop being intimidated by our government, because we know that our democracy in Zambia, if we don't do anything about it, it's threatened. And I'm going to blame some of the things.
That's a big point.
So some of the things on us, ourselves, you know. We knew these elections was coming up. And we never said anything. We never pointed things out so that way when things like this happens and then we come back and says, we told you so, you know. Then even the debate that was sponsored by I think it's a private radio Diamond TV.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those guys, they didn't even I don't know, maybe you guys have seen it on Facebook, because I'm not on Facebook, you know. Nobody cared to share the information with other candidates. I went to Lusaka Times. And I made up my mind on a young person, you know, but no one cared about those the messages of those candidates who debated on radio, and nobody cared about saying anything about these guys who are willing to come and share their vision with us, and to risk their lives and to for everything, even the guys who sponsored the event, you know. Nothing has been said about that. And then we look at our president. I don't think he cares about the democracy in Zambia, and I don't think he's in his own world. Why he's taking the money, Vanessa? And sorry, I'm gonna be you said the PF has pumped a lot of money. And that's not PF money, Bankama, you know. That's government.
It's China money. China money.
China money, yeah, whatever we can call it. And even when he went for campaigning for Sampa, they are way, and said, you know, look at other candidates that this is their own money. And me, I'm using some taxpayer money, and my voice, it carries strength, you know. But he never considered other candidates, and he never considered other people's message. And he just said, I'm going to go campaign for some part, like PF. When we take at when we look at this country, at least the Democrats and the Republicans have their own money, and when it comes to the government, they do share the, I mean, there's a certain point I think you reach where the government will give you money or they will let you raise your own money. I mean, these people are in this place, they have money. So Vanessa, this thing is for us, for ourselves. We have to blame ourselves. We have to change and start speaking about these things instead of saying we don't want to talk about the president. Because the president likes when we're not talking about it. The president likes it when we are not pointing the mistakes out, you know. Just like he went to the BRICS and then start saying about the technology. Either embrace technology or don't say anything about it, you know. Technology is here to stay. Technology is another instrument for us to use. Technology is another high for us to look at our economy or whatever, you know. So,
Yama, educate our listeners or everybody listening. What did he say about technology, President Lungu, when he went for the BRICS meeting? What did he say?
What he said, I'm just going to paraphrase it. He said he was telling the rest of the Africans that, you know, with the technology, the way, if we are not careful, we're going to put our people out of jobs. And just telling them that we have to be careful how we go about the technology, you know. And, you know, when you're reading that, he's almost like he cares about the people, but he doesn't care about the people because he knows that the Africans, that's what they want to hear. Some of the voters, they think, you know, when somebody says the machines and stuff are going to take jobs, oh, this person cares for us. But no, that's not, you know, you have to read the story to understand it, and we have to point all those things out, you know.
Mm.
You have to read the BRICS. It is on Lusaka Times. It will leave you your
okay.
Headache banging, you know.
Dr. Patrick, what should be our plan of action here? 20% of the registered voters just participated in this election, and I like one comment, Roger, that you have made on this posting. They are like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There are 7 constituencies in Zambia, and the total votes that the winner got was almost like being voted in by, in fact, the smallest constituency, Lusaka Central, 81,000. That just one area, the total of registered voters of one area is what brought in this candidate. What's the way forward here, Dr. Patrick, and how should we be thinking how to engage and influence how these things go?
I think we should initially trust our eyesight. The picture you referenced, you mentioned President Lungu shaking the hand of President Putin. Well, I like to call that the tainted handshake, meaning that President Putin has a lot of influence with respect to his cyber speak organization and can influence many elections. With respect to Zambia, he doesn't have to send too many agents into Zambia and impact on the election. Having said that, I think our brothers and sisters in Zambia or the brothers and sisters who have dual citizenship and can vote in Zambia, I think they should begin today with the mindset that they have one major voice, and that voice is the voting voice. Each individual can vote. And I request and I humbly ask that every Zambian who is of eligible voting age should vote at the next coming election. Mayoralty, province, governorship, presidency. They should not be intimidated by saying your vote does not matter.
Mm.
It does matter. Regardless of what anyone say to you, vote. One vote. An individual that gathered 500 votes and an individual that lost by 499 indicates to you that your vote counts. So that's the first thing. Vote. Vote. Don't let
Dr. Patrick, don't cut you short, but where in a country where vote integrity is not assured, that is, I think, where we need some
that's
help.
That's the second point. Do not address voter integrity, voter fraud. The first thing, the first mindset is to vote.
Mm-hmm.
You go and vote. When you stand on long lines and vote, then you can go and talk about voter integrity or voter fraud. But you can't talk about that if you don't vote. It's just like the lottery. If you don't play, you can't win. So vote. You have to vote. Now, with respect to voter integrity and voter fraud, it's going to be there. It's going to be in small, minutia numbers in certain areas and greater numbers in other areas. That's what I referenced, the tainted handshake. It's going to be there. Now, if it is there or when it rears its head and you have a line of 1 million people standing online to vote and the exit polls say that of the 1 million, 90% of them voted for a particular candidate, then you can address the voter fraud, the voter corruption. But you can't if you don't have numbers. So that's the first thing. The second thing, to get the vote out, every candidate from this day onward must have on their platform, and we talked about this early in the earlier program, must have on their platform eradication of cholera and malaria and how they're going to do that. That's the first thing. Once you have that on the platform, then you look at other things on the platform. So, thing again is vote.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what you may believe that it's going to be corrupted, vote. Second thing is make sure that your candidate has a platform that includes removing and eradicating cholera and malaria. And the third thing is you will address fraud, voter fraud, after those two things are met.
Interesting. Interesting. Dr. Munsanje, you are listening to this, and I know you followed the mayoral election in Lusaka very closely. I don't know. I don't know what your thoughts are on this, and what you are, when you looked at Roger's table that he tabulated there about the apathy that was shown by the voters. I don't know what your thoughts are on this, Dr. Musanje.
Yes, the apathy that Roger talked about, it was way out of line. I think it looks like people are no longer interested in their governance. This was a simply a mayor election.
Yes.
But the same can be said about the next January election. So my thought is that the government and the opposition parties, they need to do a lot of voter education. People don't understand the connection between voter education and the way they are living, the why they don't have they have cholera every time. There's no the drainage system in Lusaka is not working. You know, those are the things that people should be thinking about when voting, not Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi is for private companies, you know. So that is what it is. But what it is, we have, what we have in Lusaka is what it is. I mean, Miles Sampa cleanly, beat the other candidates. You know, if you win by one vote, you have still won. You are still the mayor of Lusaka. So we will just wait now for him to see whether what he's going to deliver, whether he's going to change anything in Lusaka to make sure that all the issues that pertain, including cholera, we are not going to, hopefully we will not have cholera this 2018.
The bigger picture, Nathan, what Dr. Musanje is saying, in my view, when you look at the bigger picture, less than 15% participated. Why do we need these people, not only on the voting day, but after we have voted as a city? Do we?
Yeah.
Can we develop our city with only 15% marketeers or cadres, or we need the bigger picture to participate, to be part of the process of governing Lusaka? That is the challenge these people have. These people are not just shunning away the politics, Nathan, or the election. They may be shunning away a lot of initiatives which the president would want to drive forward. You need the people to participate. Here in Canada, people will say, oh, if government wants me to pay more taxes, I'll do it. The reason, they want to participate, they know what government does. In Zambia, on the other hand, we are finding people giving us one example. They don't care, they run away from the election. The question is, what else don't they care?
When you look at a reason, you must always give someone a reason to vote. If your child died from malaria, if your child died from cholera, and you don't want your next child or your family member to die from cholera or malaria, you're going to vote. If you are impoverished but you still have your vote, and you want to lift yourself and your family and make sure your children rise up from that poverty, you're going to vote. And the reason why you're going to vote is because the platform is indicating that. So you make sure that the platform indicates your desire, your needs, and your wants. And that's what the reason is. You have to have a reason to vote. And you make sure that whoever running is running for office are giving you those reasons. Reasons, you need reasons to vote. But above all, you must vote.
I like that, Dr. Patrick. I like that. And if we can go to the opposition, their messaging. Dr. Patrick has always been very, very consistent on the malaria. And we might dismiss it and say, our people don't care about issues. No, they do. What has been the messaging? I've complained about the messaging by UPND, the major political party. We don't know. No one can tell me we know what the PF or the UPND
stands for.
We don't know. What
it's
about
difficult.
If they just decided for us, we are going to make malaria a no nonsense? How can in this country, 21st century, people are dying with malaria? For breakfast, they say that. For lunch, they say that. The Republicans do it all the time here. Nothing. But if at lunch, you talk a little bit about malaria, mid-breakfast, you're talking about corruption. By 15 hours, people have even forgotten you talked about malaria in the morning. That is a losing strategy. And I'm telling Dr. Musanje is on the online here. If you are connected to the UPND guys, they need a strategist. I'm ready to pack and go. I'm serious.
Okay, before I go, before I go to Titus, wait, okay, go back. Then Priscilla, I want you to respond to something. Then I will let Titus download or flood whatever is on his heart. Go back, Seven.
And I'll be very quick, Nathan. The thing I just wanted to do, to say here is Rogers made a good point here about the 15% was voted. Those 15%, they're not going to develop Lusaka. They're not going to. We need more than that. More than that for Lusaka to develop. You know. And we need more than 15% for them to participate in development. Because other people now, it happens in my own life when I don't like a candidate and I didn't vote. I'm just there like riding along. You know, I don't participate. I don't even follow what they're saying. You know, I don't even when I do anything. I just ride along. So that the government, they should be very, very concerned about that 15, about the mayor of Lusaka. Rogers brought up a point, and this one we should not forget: 15% of the people that, I mean, just the percentage of Lusaka voted. What the rest of the people gonna do now?
Yeah, well, that's true. You see, the point you are raising, like Siwande, everybody, you all remember this when Mwanawasa won the elections to take over from Chiluba, okay? That was the lowest turnout of voting, and we all know what everybody was saying about Mwanawasa. Okay, Priscilla, before I go to Titus here, Dr. Munsanje made a statement.
Push and run, come on. Now push a point here. Mwalanda said, what did he do for him to strengthen the things? Because we need to know.
Mwanawasa?
Yes.
No, I'm saying that, remember, Mwanawasa was voted in by the lowest number recorded in Zambia's history. I think it was like 200,000, if I'm not mistaken, the whole country, something like that. I can check my figures and be accurate on that, but I'm comparing this and the statement. It's very important. It's a pity you're not on Facebook right away. You see, this posting that Roger has put there, it captivated my attention. Okay, so you see, he's saying the winning candidate got 81,000, equal to only one constituency, Lusaka, and it's the smallest constituency with a number of registered voters. The largest is Mandevu, with 148, almost 150,000. You see the point here, right? So, okay, we'll come back to that later. We need to give time here to Titus to say what he needs to say. But before I go to Titus, Priscilla, Dr. Munsanje said, let's see if Mao Sampa will deliver. This brings up my question. Mm-hmm. Does the mayor of Lusaka have any influence really on any policy or any development change? I don't think so. Anyway, you respond to that.
I told yesterday that it may seem like a mayor of position is just a title, but you have to understand that he's the mayor of the province of Lusaka. And just think about how big Lusaka is. She was saying that, Mrs. Mumba was saying that a mayor of Lusaka is even more powerful than, say, for instance, a member of parliament for Matero or Mandevu or Chawama, because he's encompassing all those constituencies.
All those four under him, under his whatever.
Yes, so he's more powerful. He's actually like an overall boss, you know, in Lusaka. So do not make a mistake to assume that it's just like maybe a title or maybe, you know, but he's very powerful. And he's actually involved in this, in major decision-making. You know, makings. As a matter of fact, he's a go-to person. In most of these decisions that are made in Lusaka, most of the decisions cannot be made without the mayor's participation. So that's it. It may look like Miles has actually relegated himself or reduced himself. He's actually more powerful than he was as an MP. So it is a powerful position. It's not just a traditional position. It is a powerful position. To answer your question, I don't know whether I have answered your question.
No. You have brought a very important component here about the jurisdiction and the area of influence. One thing we need to point out here is that we shouldn't just look at it in terms of geographical area, but you're also looking at the population. I think Lusaka is about 3 million, going to 4 million the last time I checked. So you are very right. Let's just say, for argument's sake, he is in charge of 3+ million people, if I may put it in very simple layman's language, if you want us to put it that way. Titus, I don't know. Lusaka mayor election, whichever angle you want to come from, what's brooding on your heart, like we say in the pulpit?
Good morning, everybody. I don't have details. I didn't follow too much, but I think he won. The only thing I have is back to, we may have Mao Samba as mayor for Lusaka, which is a big thing you guys pounded on, how big and how he shouldn't be belittled. My question is, if Mao Samba, we need to be able to look at what he delivered in Matero as an MP. If he did deliver in Matero, which is a small entity, remember you're saying 4+ constituencies that is in charge now. If he did not really deliver there, I don't know how we can expect him to consolidate or now more than one to deliver. Secondly, Matero is an area which is, it's just one of the kind of, not really a suburb, but we can put it from the context of America, it's just one entity of a suburb. If you could not perform there, and we're expecting you to perform, you can go to an area of whether it's malaria. If you couldn't contain malaria in Matero, I don't know how you're going to contain Matero plus three other suburbs of Lusaka. We needed to know, even the participation of debate, if he absconds that, you don't have a way to even figure out or answer a question of, I failed in Matero, but I can do Matero and three other places this way, other than this just dangling Wi-Fi. There's not even Wi-Fi in Matero, where you can follow up that he delivered Wi-Fi in Matero. Now you can deliver Matero plus three other places. Then on the other end, I'm just looking at, remember when the mayor positions were introduced as a seat where you're paid? We haven't even researched on who is delivering. Is it even worth the money they're being paid? I'm sure Lusaka will be the most paid.
Of course,
in Sali or in Livingstone or anywhere else.
Do you remember,
so again,
Titus, there was that time when there was a debate, I think, I don't know how far it went, anybody here, Roger, Priscilla, Dr. Monsange, when they were considering increasing the allowances for Lusaka councillors, including the mayor and the deputy mayor. I don't know how far that. Of course, Lusaka's got more money than Chinsali or Senazongwe. We know that. Titus, Priscilla has also alluded to policy making, decision making, involved in a lot of issues that affect Lusaka. One of the things here, somebody posted, somebody posted something on social media. This is supposed to be a joke, though I like to read in between the lines. There are no more jokes in Zambia about anything. They were saying, Roger, I don't know that you saw this, that the reason Dr. Pastor Lungo, President Lungo has gone to the BRICS meeting in Johannesburg, he's trying to find the person who can buy the last thing that he needs to sell, the small percentage of, shares
I'm
that the government has in IH, in ZCCM, IH, and things like that. The reason I raised that point, Titus, is for us to look at the extent and the magnitude of contractual works that Sampaa will be overseeing concerning Lusaka and who benefits from that. You see the angle from which I'm looking at it? Yes. So when you are signing off on those things, okay, it's important that you win this election because you don't know whether you are still going to be in power in 2021 and all those things. I don't know. You talk to that. Address that. You are a businessman and you know how these things work.
That is why somebody wrote that it's to oversee the dealings of State House. Remember, there's a road. That the RDA, whatever those things that
did
they
you,
moved.
Did you hear
from
that?
Whatever to the
like
State House.
Like I keep saying, my Pentecostal friends will say
And remember, Sampaa was dealing with. Wasn't he a cousin to late Sata?
Yes,
there was also a lineage about the Lusaka dealings of contracts. He's already on that grid. So now there is still a grid of these road departments and whatever operating from State House with the Chinese in terms of contracts. Mm. So there's a lot of bigger gap that is there economically. I don't know. It's interesting that you mentioned that, you know, maybe beyond the president,
well,
you never know how it can go.
Well, Nathan, in Zambia, there is one celebrated mayor, and that is Kangombe in Kitwe. What is Kangombe doing in Kitwe, which people keep celebrating his work? He has, like we said, the participation should worry the people in Lusaka. He has mobilized the business community. Some of them are donating trucks. Some of them are donating money. Some of them are donating at their own time to clean up the town, to take off the garbage everywhere. Kitwe, they are doing that. But the young man, the pavements, they are putting bricks so that they are nice, and beautiful. In Kitwe, they are putting street lights. You go to Lusaka and see how dark it is at night. You wonder if you are in the capital, city. Those things can be done at a smaller level where you don't need all these capital funds to come from Lusaka. Yes, a mayor has a role. We can guesswork all these steerings and stuff. But if people are committed, he wants to mobilize the people in the town. He can do it even without money from central government coming. All he has to show is that he's committed to the job, and these are one, two, three things. Let's talk about the Wi-Fi. I love technology. I'm with him on Wi-Fi. By the way, Nathan, you come here in Canada, you go in Calgary City, your Wi-Fi is open. It's free. You don't pay a dime. You know, that's where we live. Yeah, I tell you, I cannot tell
but the
time.
Hold on,
what Wi-Fi is, the new economy, the new economy, the digital economy, is a $550 billion, with a B, $550 billion economy being driven by internet. If we can connect the young minds, the innovative minds, the creative minds, they are curious, they want to find. If we can connect them to online, only the sky is the limit, as the Indian advisor told me, is the limit. So to me, that one is to the people who only want some bread to survive today, Wi-Fi is no use to them, of course.
Yeah.
It's not.
Okay. Okay. As we wind up this discussion, let me engage Wawili Msonda. Is not a stranger to all of us. We consider him to be part of us as one of the contributors. We also know that he's UPND official in the United States. Good morning, Bakalamba. Wawili. I don't know if he's able to talk or not. Mr. Msonda. I want him to respond to a question where what message this sends about UPND. Okay, he's probably not in a position to speak. Titus, as we conclude here, we have a few minutes remaining.
Does this send a wrong signal about where UPND is as a party, the results of this election, or we shouldn't pay attention to it?
We should pay attention. We should pay attention. Yeah, we should pay attention. But at the same time, you know, people have been looking at, well, the opposition, the strong opposition party is not doing this, is not doing this. But you also have to remember that you can condemn the opposition what it's not doing. But the rate we are going, if we are putting people, they are feeding whatever they are feeding instead of changing Lusaka, I'm talking in terms of not having more money in your pockets or whatever, but just things like no more cholera and stuff like that. If you're not careful, you're not looking at that, then it's the whole country to lose. It's not only the opposition that loses by not doing this, especially if even the ruling party now would not care, because they'll get comfortable that we can win landslide, we can do this and that. But the question I have is, is the country moving forward? If the MMP were moved out and now they are comfortable with what is going, and yet these are two opposite sides, you should worry about what the MMD is thinking, because it looks like MMD has become PF. In other words, it's
MMD.
When you take out UPND, we are back to one. I'm counting that UPND, if it's ruled out that it's not doing this, and you are gauging that maybe even 2021 nothing happens. We are slowly moving. If UPND is out of the picture, you're slowly moving to one-party state, which we were in about 1991. Now the question should be, is it a good move to go that route? You should also question, as much as you're questioning UPND as a stronghold, the one that lost power was MMD, actually.
I hear you. Okay, let me cut you short here because we are losing time, and I want Amsonda to respond to something here.
Sure.
Rawiris, good morning.
Good morning, Rapasta. Good morning, everybody.
So, to you, what message did, I don't know whether you have seen Rogers post on the statistical turnout of elections on the Lusaka mayor race. What message does this race send to you, and is UPND losing ground?
Yes and no, Rapasta. And this is my personal view, not the view of the UPND. I'm UPND, and I'm really very truthful. The results, really, not only for the recent mayor elections, even Chilanga and the previous
that,
one.
Yes.
It shows it shows that we as UPND really need to pull up our socks. The PF really is the weakest party at this moment. I mean, it's the weakest party in government. We know that. They have been riddled with scandal after scandal after scandal. And yet we, as the UPND, have failed to really sit in, or the Zambians have not given us that opportunity to stand for them instead of the PF. It can only mean one thing. Either we are not very organized ourselves, or there is something that the Zambians, that is holding back the Zambians. And I don't know, I've been brainstorming with my colleagues, and because I feel really the UPN, the PF really don't even need to be in power. They are crooks, they have squandered money, they are doing everything wrong. The country is going down. And yet the people are still voting for them. We in the UPN say it's rigging and rigging, yes, to some point, but we have our people watching these elections. So it's not totally rigging. The people of Zambia are sending a message to us. And before any elections are held, probably we in the UPND need to sit down and see what really is wrong. Because our candidates are superior. Look at Ichilema compared to most of the candidates being fielded. Chidema is far much superior, and Zambians should cherish such a resume. That guy needs to be given a chance.
Bamsonda, you know, it's bad you came late. You know, that's argument I make to people. Ichilema is a very superior candidate, but we as a party, we fail to put up a message, to Aikara in a message, day in, day out, but we are all over the place. If you are connected to Lusaka, I'm telling you, Bamusanje here, tell someone, me, I'm ready to go. I'll discipline them and tell them we are only going to stick to one message. Until everyone knows what UPND is all about. As we speak today, Bamusonda, you and I cannot say what UPND stands for. What is that?
Bamusonda, Roger, let me throw this to Bamusonda in the 2 minutes we have remaining. Does the top leadership of UPND listen to the grassroots or to the people? Do they listen?
Honestly speaking, we need to reorganize. As you may be aware, we haven't had a convention to start with. The top leadership in my own, well, this is my personal view, it's dead wood. We have Ichilema there, we have GBM. Tell me anybody apart from those two that are doing, are pushing the needle. Literally nobody. So we need reorganizations ourselves in the party. That's the way I look at it. And I'm being honest, because this is what should happen for us to start winning. We are losing ground. Despite being superior, despite being a better party, I know the moment we go in State House, we'll do far much better. It doesn't need to, it's not magic. It's just don't be corrupt. Work for the Zambians and things will go well.
Excellent. Actually, as we wind up our show here, I need to mention to everybody here that
we have dropped with a we here.
Sorry about that, everybody. As we wind up here, I think we need to arrange Roger, but Bamusonda, you remember I did the debate between the PF and UPND a while ago, and we shall try to work on that, everybody. That has been our show for today. Let's all call back in as we join Roger on Open Forum, and I think we really need to revisit, reflect on this seriously. We can't just be saying that UPND is a better party, but there has to be a clear message and what's the alternative. Kangwa Chiresha has posted a good message on Facebook on his page to concede defeat. Kudos, Pastor Chiresha, we applaud you, but we still need to do a good job. That's our show for today, everybody. Let's call back in as we wind up here. Hama mine.